B-Pod Studios.
Toucher and Rich.
You like poking them?
We don't talk about things like that in here.
Oh, we do.
Toucher. Screw
Rich. I'm getting nervous.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh, when they first discovered the synthesizer in rock, they really went all in on it.
Oh, yeah. Most overused instrument in the late 70s, early 80s. And it was like always those bands like in those early Bon Jovi videos where the guy had racks of like 10 different keyboards.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, you don't use 8 of them.
No, but they certainly look cool. Look at me. I'm playing a damn symphony.
Keyboard guy never looked cool. Never.
Unless you were Geddy Lee wearing it.
I need to wear it because I need to also dance.
The keytar, yeah.
Alex, come here. Let's keytar it up.
Mm-hmm.
Syncopated moves.
All right, so Don Cherry is about to turn 86 years old. And he has done Coach's Corner, which was revolutionary. I mean, this has been going on since the 80s. And I guess, because if there's like all these like obituaries in the Toronto papers, like, despite the fact, even if the people, like, were offended by him or something like that, they still realized the importance of Don Cherry. And so I guess they used to shoot it right on the other side of the Maple Leafs locker room, and it was this, like, super ghetto thing. And you have to remember, Coach's Corner is 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, this is 5 minutes in between periods. That is this the most iconic studio thing in sports of all time?
Oh, considering the length and how much hockey is loved, it's up there. I'm only saying that because I can't think of another one.
Is there any pre or post or half? What?
They just said Piper's Pit.
Yeah. Which is a ripoff of Coach's Corner.
It was. That's right.
The only thing is Don Cherry was so much more offensive than Roddy Piper. Have a coconut.
I mean, the only thing I can think, and this isn't even close because it's something that's still going on now, but you just think of the upper echelon of this, and you think of the NBA on TNT.
You think of Barkley.
Like Shaq Barkley. Yeah, I mean, that's
Barkley specifically.
No, Barkley is fantastic on that, and there is no doubt about it. But
Kenny Smith's good. But,
yeah, I mean, but Coach's Corner is the most iconic
Kenny
out
Smith
of all.
Is a passenger.
So imagine in Toronto, Canada, having this iconic thing that's been, it's 5 minutes. That you've been doing since before 85. This guy's about to turn 86. So first of all, I heard that he was getting that he was being removed, even though they said he left. And I went and read the statement. How in Canada they speak the same language as us? And I don't understand. I needed to read the context of this and what was going on. Rich, please play the clip.
Okay. You know, I was talking to a veteran. I said, I'm not going to run the poppy thing anymore because what's the sense? I live in Mississauga. Nobody wears, very few people wear a poppy. Downtown Toronto, forget it, downtown Toronto. Nobody wears a poppy. And I'm not going to. He says, wait a minute. How about running it for the people that buy them? Now, you go to the small cities and, you know, those, the rows on rows, you people love you, that come here, whatever it is, you love our way of life, you love our milk and honey, at least you could pay a couple of bucks for poppies or something like that. These guys pay for your way of life that you enjoy in Canada. These guys paid the biggest price. Anyhow, I'm going to run it again for you great people and good Canadians that bought a poppy. I'm still going to run it anyhow.
All right, so A, I have to figure out what a poppy is.
I read that too, and I was like, what is he talking about?
And then he says the town he lives in, and I'm like, what the hell town is that?
Yeah.
Like, how would anyone know what that is? And then he says in Toronto. So, but this is like Veterans Day, something Veterans Day.
So the origins of the poppy as an emblem
of remembrance.
Okay.
All right, so what he's...
And it's usually worn in the UK and nations like Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and South Africa.
So what it is, again, this poppy is something that you wear. And in honor of Remembrance Day, which is for the military, he is saying that where he lives and Toronto has a
Well, he rarely sees people wearing the poppies.
No, no, but it, but it, well, he got fired because of, like, it's immigrants.
Yeah,
like that. He's saying immigrants don't wear the poppies. So that took about 15 minutes of my time to figure out what the hell he was talking about.
Right.
And so,
here he is, by the way, defending himself here.
No, I did not mean that. And what I did mean, everybody, not just the people that think. And but once you say your people, you people, you know you're in trouble. But I would have been feeling a lot worse if I had of knuckled under and done things that they wanted me to do in that and not be myself on television.
All right. So now, so you're thinking, okay, poppies, and he said these things, and apparently he's saying that immigrants don't wear poppies, and here is a guy saying how he should have been fired.
Yeah, this is a Canadian sports broadcaster. This is Bruce DeBiggin.
Well, I guess the only surprise for a lot of people is that it's taken this long, that he lasted till 85, you know, throwing zingers out there into the public that seem to always get excused or people slough them off.
Again,
slough them off.
I don't.
These are all these Canadian terms.
I have no understanding of what's going on. Right. Everyone sloughed them off.
Uh-huh. I'm going to use that more.
Okay, so here, because the Toronto Sun like isn't sure, like they like what, like they're like pretty, like they're getting pretty, you know, nostalgic and like kind of melancholy about the whole, sure, Don Cherry thing. So here are some things that he has said in the past. He called a few NHL enforcers a bunch of pukes for stating regret over this, over their style and urging more research into post-career concussions. He mocked the hiring of a Finnish assistant coach, Alpo Suhin, and compared his name to a brand of dog food. Labeled environmentalist David Suzuki a left-wing kook on climate change. He was down on over-the-top goal celebrations, calling Alex Ovechkin a goof and worrying that he'd be headhunted. He also slammed Sidney Crosby for so much of the same exuberance. He ripped the Europeans and French-Canadian guys for wearing visors, which brought the Canadian League's commissioner down on him. Attacked the Bloc Quebecois for removing Canadian flags from MPs' desks. And still harping on Quebec, Cherry criticized skier Jean-Luc Brossard as Canada's Olympic flag bearer at the 1980 Olympics. The CBC ombudsman chastised him for that. Again, I don't understand a lot of what this is.
Maybe he has a new future calling into Phil Esposito's television show.
I think back when I was a kid, 12 years old, it was 1955, 56, 54. It was hotter than f***ing hell in the soup.
That's right.
I mean, Jesus, I am so over that f***ing bullshit.
That's right. Somehow these guys are allowed to do their internet show. In 2003, Cherry and McLean stayed straight into an argument about Canada not joining the war in Iraq. Cherry's pro-U.S. sentiments led to 1,500 complaints to the CBC. And then, though it didn't happen on Coach's Corner, Cherry broke into a McLean post-game interview with Leafs playoff hero Doug Gilmore in 1993 and kissed him, sparking a verbal feud with Kings coach Barry Melrose.
Glaciers that are melting, they say that...
That is so full of shit.
Full of shit that the glaciers are melting, Phil?
You fucking ass.
We need to check in and see if Esposito's recording
a new
one of those.
The thing is, the guy's 86. Like, you know what these crotchety ex-players are doing. Robert, go ahead.
God, Phil Esposito reminds me of my dad at Christmas.
That's true.
So I'm a veteran myself, and one of the stories, well, not the story, but the origin of the poppy was during World War One. I don't know which battle it was exactly, but after they cleared all the bodies away, a British lieutenant had kind of been fed up with the whole war, went out and planted these a certain type of poppy that was supposed to sprout as white, but for some amazing reason, the flowers came out red, and they associated it with the blood that had been spilled by the veterans. And so that's a symbolic nature of why they sell those poppies and why they encourage people to buy them to support the veterans.
Okay, so he's in essence saying, I want more people to support the veterans.
Pretty much, yeah, that's what he's saying. But, you know, not everybody, you know, my old man, when he gets a few tied down, he doesn't say things in the most politically correct way, but you get his emotion and his earnestness, you know. That's, it's just that generation, you know. You have to understand, you know, and kind of like, you know, we lost Howard Cosell because of what he said. We lost, you know, several other great sports people just because of the way they put their wording. And it's a shame that we've become so politically correct that it's just kind of like, you know, I remember when I was a kid, it was black is beautiful, because that's, you know, that's the way it is. Now you can't say black. Now you have to say African-American. In 5 years, they're going to change it again on us, and we don't know exactly what's going to be the correct wording.
The problem with Cosell is that he, and I can't say it because it's going to be misconstrued, but he referred to a player as a term that he had referred to white players as well. He meant it based on their speed and agility.
Right.
And he had used that term for white players before. So with Cosell, it was a little unfair.
And also, they're chopping the shit out of the rainforest. I'm in Brazil where they're shitting in the water.
Chris, go ahead. Chris. All right, he's gone. Well, anyway, Don Cherry has been fired. So the last domino has fallen.
Yeah.
And,
you know, I think that I have a good suggestion for the replacement.
I have a little twist to this series. Why don't we insert Shane Knighty into it, the sheriff?
Why don't we get Shane Knighty?
Is he still working with Gosher?
He is. He's Gosher
in Vegas.
He is the brick. He is the Brickley of the Vegas Golden Knights broadcast.
Who's older, Busick or?
Oh, boy.
Because I say you put someone in even older.
I think Don Cherry's older than Busick.
We get Esposito.
No, Esposito's not going to get up there and put a suit on.
Like leave Florida?
Like what is Esposito's not going to do anything?
He likes being near the ponies.
Busick's 2 years younger.
Is he really?
He's 84.
So there you go. The old man's gone. And I have a feeling he's going to be hired by someone quite lickety-split. I would imagine.
Have ESPN hire him to replace Melrose, put him in front of that green screen. They probably
watch the same amount of hockey. All right, Jeff Howe is coming up in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Why you ain't coming up now?
It's TNR on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I had no idea they could do that.
Well, there you go.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
At 5 to Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. And hopefully we can get some equipment running in here.
Everything okay over there? I mean, a lot of meetings, a lot of people wandering in, a lot of furrowed brows staring at things.
No, we can't.
Nick came in here, put his hands on his hips, then went back into his other room.
Nick can usually fix Fox Pro, but it's not happened today.
Hmm.
Which will affect the show greatly as the show moves on. So it would be nice to get it fixed at 7:22 in the morning.
There should be an engineer here, technically, correct? Downstairs?
I don't know what their schedules are, but I would. There's a whole process to getting an engineer now that involves going to the corporate website, I believe.
Oh, boy.
And filing a report.
Like a Swiss watch.
Just one.
Awesome.
Yesterday, the phones didn't work.
Yep.
And today, VoxPro doesn't work.
Hmm.
So the day we need the phones, they don't work. And then on the day that we need but we don't need the VoxPro, on the day we need the VoxPro, it doesn't work. I certainly haven't touched it. Jeff Howe, he covers the Patriots for TheAthletic.com. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Mr. Jeff Howe.
Hey, what's up?
All right, why are these Gronkowski stories coming up this week? Why? Is it because it's a bye week?
Yeah, I think it's boredom.
Is that what happens to you guys during bye weeks?
Yeah, I mean, people just start getting anxious and start making a few extra calls and see what they can come up with. But I don't think anything's changed. I don't foresee anything changing. It's just, I mean, the impetus of the most recent story seems to be a conversation that happened months ago. So
Right. This
is, I keep going back to the conversation I had with Gronk in August when he was extremely happy to be retired. And he said if he was ever going to come back, it wasn't going to be a spur-of-the-moment type of thing where he just had, like, you know, one little itch in the morning and decided he wants to go down to Gillette Stadium and try out for the football team. It was going to be something that was going to take weeks where he would be like, oh, you know what, I really have to go out and do this. And it doesn't sound like that's happened. I mean, there was a time a couple months ago when somebody close to him was saying that they thought that he was going to come back. And I was like, I just don't believe you. And just – I think the people around him might believe that he might want to come back, but I don't know why. I don't think Gronk has any intentions of coming back, and I don't know how realistic it would be that he would be able to come back, gain 20 to 25 pounds of playing weight, ramp up his workouts to an NFL caliber level, and then avoid an injury that would, you know, set him back almost immediately. I mean, the science behind that doesn't even sound like it'd work.
Yeah, because it's interesting because I've heard people say, well, I don't think he needs to gain the weight. And then that he would be just as effective at the current weight he's at, which I don't believe, by the way, but I have heard people say that.
No chance. How does it sound like Bill Belichick to be like, hey, you know what, you come back at 240. When you're on the field, we're just going to let the defense know that we're passing. You're not going to block, and we're going to telegraph everything, and you just go what you do. By the way, I expect you to do it at a Hall of Fame level, 25 pounds lighter than you're used to doing it.
It doesn't make much sense at all. So Gronk impacts the offense in a wide variety of ways. We know that. Are the Patriots any closer now, having gone through a bye week and self-scouted, are they any closer to fixing their blocking problems or their receiving problems from the position?
Well, I guess the only reason they'd be closer is that, you know, they're a week away from having Isaiah Wynn potentially if he can come back against the Cowboys. So that would help their left tackle situation. Lacoste and Izzo have been banged up pretty much the entire season. I mean, Ben Watson at 38 could always use the extra rest, even though he's only been on the team for a short stint here and is, I guess, second time around this season already. So, you know, those things are going to help. I don't know how much, just in terms of run blocking, I don't know. I mean, it's been a problem that they've had all season. I don't know if that's one of those things that they're all of a sudden just going to fix overnight. But they're, you know, they can hope that Isaiah Wynn is going to be able to come back and be that difference. But then, you know, we talk about the realistic stuff with Gronk. I mean, Isaiah Wynn, when he's on the field, he looks awesome. He looks like a first-round pick, and there's no questioning that. Problem is he's been in the NFL for a year and a half, and he's played a game and a series, and he's had two pretty major injuries.
How do you think the offensive line is done in general? Because in my mind, they've been up and down. Even the guys they depend on have been up and down this season.
Yeah, in terms of the pass blocking, they've been mostly decent. The last couple of games have been kind of the last three games have sort of been their toughest. So tough trend there, but I'm wondering if Marcus Cannon and Shaq Mason are dealing with injuries that are a little more severe than we recognize, because they have kind of fallen off the pace that they set last year with how good they were playing. And, you know, that's surprising more than anything. But, you know, Ted Karras coming in, he's been there. It's kind of crazy to say, just at least in terms of the disruption numbers that I chart, Ted Karras leads the team among the five regulars. So that's been a welcome surprise. I'm not saying he's a perfect run blocker, but in terms of pass blocking, he's done a really good job stepping in for David Andrews. And, you know, Joe Tooney's done a really good job once again. You know, they're on plan, I think, like eight at left tackle right now. So, you know, the expectations for Marshall Newhouse have to be put in check to a degree. And, you know, I think if they get their best guys and Shaq Mason and Marcus Cannon playing at the same level that they had last year, you know, that would do wonders for the offensive line. And then if Isaiah Wynn can come back and be healthy over the final six regular season games or whatever it is, plus the playoffs, then, you know, again, that's a guy who every time he's on the field has been impressive.
All right, Jacob Hollister is the new Mark Bavaro. We saw it last night.
For a seventh-round pick.
He was given away for a song.
Yep.
No, in all seriousness, and I realize that this is you know, not something that you can predict, but did you see any signs of Hollister having anything when he was here?
Yeah, his problem was he just couldn't stay healthy. And he was an extremely athletic tight end, looked a lot like what you've seen the last couple weeks with the Seahawks now that he's gotten the opportunity. I mean, he started the season like third on their depth chart. So a couple weeks now where he's been healthy and able to produce, and, you know, their tight ends just naturally gets a lot of action. You know, we saw with the two guys before him who have gone down, were able to do earlier this season with the way Russell Wilson targets that position. I think it's sort of a perfect storm for how well he's been playing, but the health is the biggest factor. The Patriots just got overly frustrated with the injuries that were a consistent presence for him. They just couldn't ever really get him going. Every time he made some momentum, and he was really good in the training camps when he was healthy, and then bang, it'd be like the end of the preseason or week one in the regular season, he'd get injured again, wouldn't be able to shake it. And that's why they never got him on the field, and I think that's ultimately why they were frustrated enough to trade him in the spring.
All right, Jeff, you saw the Ravens, you saw what Lamar Jackson did to them, and they were running out of a pistol and all this stuff. If they were to play again in the playoffs, do you think that Baltimore could have the same success offensively?
I'd be surprised if it were the same success, but, you know, the next 4 weeks are really going to show us what the Patriots can do to correct the adjustments that they or make the adjustments that they need to make in order to prepare themselves for a likely rematch against the Ravens. I mean, you start off with Philly, which, you know, not the same type of offense, but Philly and Kansas City run very similar offensive styles that have given Belichick's defenses trouble over the last 5 years. So Patriots can make some adjustments, and, you know, the Ravens did some things in terms of some of their misdirections and their short passing game that you do see from time to time with Philly and Kansas City. So, you know, that's a good step in the process for them to come out and, you know, really get this thing corrected in short order. The Patriots spent a ton of time, or I shouldn't say a ton. It was almost every single practice in the spring and summer when you would see them spend like one period practicing against a Chiefs or Eagles style offense. And Danny Etling was the quarterback running those scout team periods. So, you know, this is one of those things that they've been working at for quite a while. So those are two games that are going to help them in that sense. And then you come back in 2 weeks and you get the Cowboys. And if Jason Garrett is patient and disciplined enough to stick with Ezekiel Elliott and try to run the ball and prove the Patriots can stop the run, you know, that's another opportunity for them to show that they can be better. They certainly have the talent to do it. I think you just got to win a few more one-on-one matchups in order to stop, you know, the run defense that has kind of been bleeding a little bit the last 2 or 3 weeks, more particularly. And then, you know, you look at Houston again in 3 weeks. So you got four really good tests coming down the pike here for them to show that they can be better. And it kind of reminds me a little bit of last year when, you know, the run defense had a really, really tough stretch for a few weeks, and they just started winning more battles. And that was when they tightened it up. So I think that's the biggest thing that they've got to correct here.
All right, Jeff Howe, you can read him on theathletic.com. We always appreciate the time.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. Have a good one.
All right, thank you so much. You do the same. Mike Gorman's going to be joining us at 8:20. Any news, anybody?
Mike Gorman?
Okay. What? Any news what?
Oh, you said any news, anybody on Mike Gorman?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I'd never question the man.
Mm-hmm.
No, any news on a sister-sister reunion? Is what I've been looking for.
Yeah.
Rumors started popping off at about 2 a.m. last night. You know how they go on the Pacific Coast. So any news on this equipment working? I just, I don't know.
We figured out a way around it. If we
yeah, and that's always great.
It's not the best, but.
Stop!
But look at us. We play injured.
Stop!
That's right.
This is what I'm going to have to say. Play cut. All right. We will be back in just a moment. Here are the headlines.
Half of it, Thatcher and Rich.
sagecountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sports Hub.
Damn it, I want to be a part of this thing.
Watch the show on the Sports Hub channel on the Twitch app.
Is that a euphemism for some kind of sex?
It's Tucker and Rich on 95, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Tucker and Rich. Be listening this morning at 7:50 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to see the Black Crowes reunite. To play the entirety of Shake Your Moneymaker.
That is a tour I want to see.
Are you going to Shake Your Moneymaker?
That's a great album.
I know, but I'm just asking if you're going to Shake Your Moneymaker.
The first two albums from the Black Crowes are very good albums.
I mean, did you Shake Your Moneymaker last Saturday?
You know I did.
Plus your favorite hits. I don't know. I just think it's funny. The album. I didn't say it was bad. I just like it's Shake Your Moneymaker.
They might have had like six singles off that album.
They did. They had a lot. And then the singer just started taking mushrooms and saying, I'm going to make a bunch of garbage.
And just started wilting away. You ever read that Stephen King book, Thinner? Cursed by a gypsy, and the person just wilted into nothing. That was Chris Robinson.
Yeah, he just started. I mean, you would see videos. You can YouTube him, and he's just on a ton of mushrooms just saying, what do you want to be? Tickets are on sale now via Ticketmaster.com.
Speaking of that, speaking of Saturday night, I went to Comics Come Home, and first of all, you were right, because you had seen Mother Creeps with Kids Tour after we had Robert Kelly's tour. He killed. I mean, Robert Kelly absolutely destroyed. Pete Holmes was the best of the night, though. Pete Holmes got up there and absolutely destroyed the crowd. So did John Mulaney. There was Michael J. Fox like kicked off the whole show. They go, ladies and gentlemen, Michael J. Fox, and he walked up there. It's amazing, like, the medicine that they've come out with, because, over the years, it almost seems like he's gotten better. The MS isn't as bad as it's
Parkinson's.
MS he's got. Parkinson's, that's right, that he's got. Has gotten a little bit better. But afterwards, I went in, and I did just go in for a couple minutes to that new nightclub, which, that Big Night Live. They put a club that might have the most state-of-the-art sound system and, like, the nicest club I've ever been in, where it used to be a parking lot 100 feet from Halftime Pizza. Like, that whole area, whatever it's called, the hub now, where it's got a brand new grocery store, it's got like three new bars. You would, 5 years ago, have never have imagined that that place was there. It is unbelievable how much work that they've thrown into that place. But apparently, for the whispers were that Robert Kraft was hanging out, flipping a glow stick on Saturday night.
I'm everywhere. Can I make a special request, darling? A nice hot dog slice?
A nice hot dog slice for you there.
Grilled,
yeah. Mm-hmm. But speaking of concerts, this was something interesting that happened over the weekend.
Yeah, so Tyler, the Creator, from used to be an Odd Future, I don't know if he still is, he put together a festival. And if you'll recall, a comedian named John Daly, is very funny. He was on the Kroll show, and he put together a video. And I was going to play it on the air, but it's not funny at all unless you can see it. And it's Drake, his histrionics on the sidelines during the playoffs. And it's like, I mean, he's just jumping up, and he's rubbing the coach, and he's like grabbing players, and he's... And what John Daly does is he puts it up and he's like, I love basketball. Hey, guys, you like basketball? I like basketball. And then he's reading these things. And he's like, oh, here's my rap. I like basketball. I like it for all. And
you're right. He's grabbing like Nick Nurse. And like, what are you doing grabbing the coach?
Because it's so infuriating. At least Spike Lee was on the other side of the court.
Yeah, right. Not on the bench as a teammate. Like, I've seen Drake, like, go into huddles before.
Yeah, like, why does Drake get to do that? I understand that you're an extremely popular recording artist.
Technically part of the organization as a global ambassador.
Yes, which means that, please, we're in Toronto. Can we have someone famous at the game?
Yes.
But it drives me insane. How you could be so narcissistic, and this is like a guy who came up on Degrassi Junior High. I mean, this isn't a guy that, you know, was Roaches and Rats, you know.
He's not exactly 50 Cent getting shot nine times.
Right. He's not like, he didn't just come into all this money and like started losing his mind. I mean, this is a guy who seems, at least to my knowledge, to have had at least a financially stable situation at some point in his youth.
He's passed Spike Lee as the most annoying sports fan right now in North America.
Spike Lee was incredibly annoying, but he'll always have that Reggie Miller game that makes Knicks fans hate him, where he was getting into it with Reggie Miller, like on the sidelines.
Reggie Miller went off.
But he never, like, the look of, like, just extreme glee on Drake's face, the idea that my kids think he's good, like, everything about him is so annoying. And you're right. I mean, he's, because I just, his John Daly video, you can follow him on Instagram. He just, not the golfer. He, like, hugging players and running around, and he's on the seat directly next to the bench.
Yeah.
And in the sight line of the coach, like, the coach is, and he doesn't sit down. What planet are you on? Like, at least Cuban, like, sits, like, two rows back, right?
Yeah, last night he
Cuban's also the owner.
Right.
Like, he's the owner.
But I would still think you're an a-hole if you were the owner and you were dancing around touching the coach. I mean, have some personal boundaries.
Right. Like, Mark Cuban has something to do with the success of the Dallas Mavericks. Right. Almost everything to do.
But I
now,
would...
Drake believes he has something to do with the success of the
Drake
Raptors.
Drake likes the Raptors and is famous, so he believes that he can do whatever he wants. There's nothing on him that tells him to slow down. It's just, there's no governor on him. He's just going crazy. So he's doing this Tyler the Creator thing.
Yeah, it's a festival called Camp Flognaw. And on the poster, there are people like Solange and a bunch of other artists. But the headliner had a bunch of question marks on the poster. Now, earlier in the day or earlier in the week, a rumor had leaked out that Frank Ocean was going to be the mystery guest. And a bunch of people got excited. Wow, okay, I think Frank Ocean's going to be the person that's going to come out there. And Tyler, the Creator, comes out on stage and says, ladies and gentlemen, our headliner, Drake. And Tyler, the Creator's like, dude, this is like the biggest name in rap right now. Might maybe even be one of the biggest names in music.
Well,
and so he's thinking this place is going to go crazy.
Yeah, but if also I'm Tyler, the Creator, I go, we're not exactly doing the same thing. But okay.
So the crowd, you thought would have, probably even imagine, even like tweeted afterwards that the place was going to go crazy. And they were like, you're not Frank Ocean.
Yeah.
And so Drake goes out on stage to a smattering of boos, and about nine songs into his set, which was supposed to go longer, this happens.
Go, bro.
No! Oh, that's not the clip. That's not the clip I'm looking for. Do you have the one where he goes on stage and he's rapping and you got to beep it? Do you have that?
And he goes, you want me to be here? I mean, I'll stay. I'm here for you guys.
So he goes out on stage and he's rapping and he finishes his ninth song and you hear this kind of like smattering of clapping and a couple people going, and he goes, listen, man, I'm here for you guys. I'm here for the love. If you don't want it, then I'll just leave. And then just everyone starts booing and he leaves and he gets booed off the stage.
Yeah.
It was
so wonderful to see. It was so exciting and wonderful to see. It was just the greatest.
Tyler, the Creator, wrote afterwards, quote, I thought bringing one of the biggest artists on the effing planet to a music festival was fire. But flip side, a little tone deaf knowing the specific crowd it drew. Some created a narrative in their head and acted out like ass blank when it didn't come true, and I don't F with that. So he was mad that the crowd wanted someone other than Drake.
Right, well, that's what I'm saying, is that if you're a big Tyler, the Creator fan, I have a feeling that Drake's not your favorite rapper. They're not cut from the same cloth.
But Tyler the Creator was the one who signed him festival.
And I think that was a complete miscalculation. And the amount of money he probably had to pay him and all those things, I think it was a tremendous miscalculation.
I think that's like being at like a hardcore punk festival and them saying, our headliner, ladies and gentlemen, Korn. And then everyone going, oh boy, yeesh.
Yeah.
Or like, hey guys, we're at a reggae festival. Ladies and gentlemen, 311.
Or what is it? Santeria, a tribute to Sublime.
Or like, yeah, right. It's like a Misfits reunion. Ladies and gentlemen, Fuel.
Yeah, I think it
Three
is.
Three Doors Down.
I cannot believe that Sublime band without the dude that OD'd is still rocking around.
Sublime with Rome. Yep. They still do very well.
I hate Sublime. I hate them with every fiber of my being. The idea that those songs still resonate. If that dude didn't die, they'd be playing, they'd be opening for Loverboy. All you had to do back then was make a reference to marijuana, and you were basically in good graces with everyone.
Were the Cottonmouth Kings in with everyone?
The idea that the Cottonmouth Kings existed.
I've never heard a Cottonmouth Kings song.
Oh, I've been to shows, festivals where the Cottonmouth Kings played.
I have seen Slightly Stupid, which misspells stupid.
Oh, that Sublime. And then I saw a documentary on Sublime, and it's just, ew.
They're just one of those bands that there was just like so much good music out at that time. I didn't have time for Sublime. Like Sublime's one of those bands was always on. I'm like, all right, they are what they are.
I had to play them 500 times a day. I got a dimension. Let's look at I can play the guitar like it. No, you can't. Not at all. You're not good at guitar.
All right, here's that Drake clip. You have it, Dan?
Hey, paranoid. Always rolling with my mother boys. Like I said, I'm here for you tonight. If you want to keep going, I will keep going tonight. What's up? If you want to keep going, I will keep going tonight. Well, look, it's been love. I love y'all. I go by the name of Drake. Thank you for having me.
I'll tell you what's pretty funny. I'm just now finding out about this. I guess Marilyn Manson played at that festival, and the crowd loved it.
Yeah, because he's so creepy.
Oh, yes.
I thought his book was going to be so good.
Oh, like for all the wrong reasons?
Yeah, I thought it. But I thought it was going to be like all these debaucherous affairs and stuff. It starts off, he's like, I would go in my grandfather's basement and there would be books of anatomy.
Yeah, of course that's what the book would be. It was like that Onion article. It said Marilyn Manson goes door to door trying to creep people out. <He's>,
that was the creepiest kind of pornography. And there were books on anatomy. My grandfather, my own flesh and blood.
How disturbing. I shall write a song about it.
Oh, no. I was from Tampa.
That's creepy enough.
I'm a total nerd.
Ooh. I used to be Paul from the Wonder Years.
Me and Mike D split the role. All right, so we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is where Boston talks sports. Toucher and Rich, Boston's home for sports. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
98.5, The Sports Hub. Caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. To score a pair of tickets to see the Black Crowes reunite to play the entirety of Shake Your Money Maker, plus your favorite hits. Tickets are on sale now via Ticketmaster.com.
From the same redneck town that I am. They went to my wife's high school.
Where are they playing?
Xfinity Center, I think, right?
It doesn't say.
Yeah. Yeah, they play. It is. In June, I think.
I'm shaking my moneymaker right now. Hey, you want to hear an email that makes fun of Wallet?
Let's do it.
All right. And this is one's going to cut deep.
Okay.
It's not personal towards you, but it's about something that you love.
All right.
Thank you. This is to me. Thank you for calmly talking about how Mookie is great, but may not be worth 10 years of that money. Wallach seems overwhelmed by the whole topic, making wild guesses about how Mookie projects into his 30s. Mookie won't play center field, Benintendi, or a new player probably would, which I agree. His body type and the way he needs his hips to create power won't do him good as he gets older. Also, comparing him to Mike Trout, one of the greatest players of all time, makes him sound like an idiot.
He didn't compare him to it. I'll stand up for John Walk on that.
He said that he was a rung below.
He said is the next best thing to Mike Trout, which still doesn't mean that you're Mike Trout.
I don't. I think that he was comparing them much more favorably. You don't get enough credit for your baseball knowledge. Well, what do I get enough credit for? P.S. Danny Brown is in town this Friday. He will go on at 5 in the morning. But, John.
Yeah.
Your baseball knowledge is whack, I see.
Your baseball knowledge is lame. Your I give you a course that's right. And teach you the game.
Your baseball knowledge is lame. To quote into Jermaine Wiggins,
mm-hmm.
Your baseball knowledge is lame.
Mm-hmm.
So a little support for me.
Time to take a victory lap.
Maybe I'll influence something on Instagram tonight.
I'm just saying, all you have
add
to do...
Fred Tutcher. I've already had my first Instagram. I'm pushing for a brand. I posed with sunglasses.
You look good.
Football knowledge is lame.
I know.
They did not. Thank you. I look good. Thank you. It's too late to get back. I'm trying to advertise Epoch for Safety sunglasses.
Are those like blue blockers?
That's a classic pose.
Is that a CVS special?
I don't think that you could buy those at CVS.
That's on
the old. I think that's a Tennessee stick your hand in the Walmart bin.
Those are the damn it. I smashed my sunglasses or lost them. And I need some immediately for the next 10 minutes when I drive from here to the grocery store.
That's right. So if you go at Fred Tutcher on Instagram and follow me, maybe I can get Epoch for Safety sunglasses to sponsor me. But, Rich, I have no idea what's going on. All I know is it's going to be a pain in the ass. All right. What is going on?
We have to monitor an emergency podcast session from our radio station.
Oh, I wish I had. Why don't I have Vox Pro? Should I do it from Dan's room?
You know what? You could do it from here.
No. But
if you want to control the.
You want to control the Vox Pro.
You want to control it.
That's okay.
Microphone right here.
We'll get through it.
No, it's not an insult to Dan. It's just,
none taken.
I mean, you can do this.
But then if I want to bring it back a little bit.
Why does Vox Pro not working?
I don't know. Why didn't
doesn't
the phones
seem like
work
it's
yesterday?
Connected to the server. That's the.
Oh, okay. All right.
I mean, they're doing a bunch of major work around here, but.
It's up to you. Do you want to go in that room? Because then you got a bird's going to be yapping away. And it's, you know what? Yeah, go in that room.
Yeah. See what goes on here during the segments. All right. I'd love to have you.
I'm all for Fred going in there and having to stand next to Bird for a break.
All right. Fantastic. All right.
I don't wish for chaos all right. at all.
I will go. And if you go to twitch.tv, you won't be able to see me. All right. All right. We'll try to figure it out. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.